KPCA LP, Petaluma, California, 103.3 FM. Good morning, Petaluma. Welcome to Inside Petaluma.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Cindy Thomas. I'm co-hosting here with Janice Peter Thompson and Jason Davies. Good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, that's right. We're not supposed to say guys anymore. We're trying to change
that. You did it.
I did.
I'm the one constantly kicking myself when I do that.
We're going to have to change our language. We're going to have to have a language day.
Yeah.
Evolution.
Exactly.
Well, welcome back, you guys.
Good to see you again. I had a great time up at the Eel River, and I missed you, though.
Yeah. And Jason, where were you this time?
I was in Nashville, Tennessee.
Wow.
The Summer NAMM show. Yeah, that was great.
Oh, cool.
Business?
It was business, and yeah, I mean, I can't say I didn't enjoy it. I mean, it's all about music, and
that's
I love
great.
Music, so yeah, it was great.
Good for you.
Great. So we're going to be talking about other stuff later, but I want to be conscious of our guests' time. Today we have Jeannie Belding, who is the media spokeswoman for Sonoma Marin Area Rail Transit. Good morning, Jeannie.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. And we're going to talk all things smart here for a little while. So, first of all, you're a resident here in Petaluma, correct?
Absolutely. I'm a Petaluman. Love
you're
it.
Petaluma. Yay! Woo-hoo.
You picked the best city.
Everybody that moves here loves it.
I totally agree.
How long have you been here?
Oh, about 3.5 years now.
She's a native almost.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta love it.
Getting close. Actually, I want to say that I love the new people that are moving here. It just brings a lot of great energy into the community. So thank you.
Oh, we love it here. It's a great community.
And so you came here 3 years ago. Was it specifically to join the SMART team?
Yes.
Nice.
Wow. Exactly.
Where'd you come from?
Hawaii.
Nice.
I know. It is beautiful. I'm blessed to live in beautiful places.
Yeah.
Which island?
Oahu.
Nice.
And you still have connections there? So
oh, absolutely. I have family there, friends there, so it's a nice place to head back to every now and then.
Lucky you.
Lucky you.
Very nice.
Okay, so what's going on with SMART these days?
Wow, so we've got a lot going on. If you haven't heard it yet, we're making our way to the Larkspur Ferry Landing, and that extension is scheduled to open by the end of this year.
And me being a Giants fan can hardly wait for that.
It is awesome to have a direct connection to the ferry. We're also working on opening a third station in Novato, in downtown Novato. So things are moving along quite well.
Now, in Novato, will that be where the old train station used to be?
Correct. Near Grant Street and downtown.
Right downtown.
Yeah, that's right downtown. Yeah.
Oh, I was just there the other day. Vermont was really an interesting town.
It is.
I mean, I actually kind of enjoyed it. And I have to go back there today, and I just got off some street. And so this is really exciting that there's going to be one right in downtown.
Yes.
It's going to be really vitalized. Novato.
There are like 500 businesses near that particular station.
Yeah.
You know, lots of small businesses, too, so we're happy about it.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Great. And then what about Petaluma? What's happening here in Petaluma?
So the good news is that the lawsuit has been settled, so things hopefully will get moving again on that station in the Corona area. Petaluma really needs a second station, so we're so excited about that.
Okay.
That'll be great for Petaluma.
Yeah, I think it's really important
that
we have an east side station, and so it's great news. But what does it mean that the lawsuit was settled? What was the lawsuit about, and how was it settled? What was the settlement?
Well, I don't know the details of the settlement, but what I can tell you is what it means. It means now that we can negotiate again to get this deal moving, to get the station built, and to see if we can get that parcel in downtown Petaluma sold so that we can get going on that second station. I think it's essential to have a station on the east side, given the population, right?
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, and it kind of, not having one sort of defeats part of the purpose, because you have people on the east side having to drive downtown to get to the other station to use it.
The other thing is, I talked to friends that live close to the downtown station, and they're really looking forward to being able to take the SMART train down to Corona. And we need sidewalks to get to Lagunitas, but you're able to actually get a shuttle or walk there. And so I think it's going to be a real great connection just to hop on to go downtown or go up in the northern area that will eventually be developed and hopefully more commercial, you know, like a beer area. Grafo, gin is up there, and there's a lot of great, you know, companies that people want to really go to, destinations.
Right.
I have a question that's a little bit niggly, but I'm just like, if I want to take the SMART and I'm wanting to get to San Rafael as fast as I can, what's the addition of these two stops going to be? Like another 4 minute, 5 minutes? I mean, it's pretty trivial, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's really not going to impact your travel time all that much. And what people may not realize is that when we pull into a station, we're there for approximately 30 seconds. We call it a 30-second dwell time. So while that seems like a little bit of time, it's actually enough, and it keeps us on schedule. So you won't see a huge impact to that.
That's great. So I had a quick question about going to the airport, you know, the Charles Schulz Airport. So are there, what's the connection? So you take the, you drop off at the SMART train, but the airport is, say, a mile away. How are people getting to the airport? Is there going to be a system that SMART's going to be working with somebody?
So there are a variety of different ways that people connect with our stations. At the airport, Sonoma County Transit offers, we call it the Route 50 series, and it is a bus that is literally right outside the station area, and it makes that run down to that business park in the airport and also hits the airport area as well. I know we do have passengers that do use the train and those connections to make it to the airport.
Good. So eventually, how the train schedule, I mean, if you get in at midnight on a flight, I'm assuming the train's not going to be running, but eventually will that happen as the airport gets busier and busier? We'll need more connections.
So right now, because the airport is growing, what we do is we meet with the folks at the airport and the folks at Sonoma County Transit to see, okay, what are the peak times that we can meet with the train? And then we all coordinate our transit system with the bus system to try and just hit those peak times. So then if you're taking the train and your flight, let's say, is at 11, you may have to go a couple of hours earlier, at least wait, but it's worth it because you don't have to get stuck in traffic. You know you'll get there on time. So I think the thing about having transit in our community is we have to sort of adjust how we do things and incorporate that into our lifestyle. But I can tell you that I think it's a much healthier lifestyle. I think folks who take the train say that it's stress-free in terms of commuting. You don't have to get on 101. So it really does require making sure that you make some changes to fit that into your lifestyle.
Well, I went out to Charles Schulz, and it was quite a chunk of money when I left my car there. It was only for 4 days. And so I'd love to be able to take the train as long as I can go ahead and, you know, have those connections. And so this is great.
So I'm a big supporter of SMART. I obviously voted for it and support it, but I remember there was a little bit of disappointment from some in the environmental community when the decision was made to have diesel trains. And I just wondered if there's ever any consideration to maybe going to electric at some point.
Okay, so the thing about our trains is that it's an EPA Tier 4, which is the cleanest, greenest diesel that you can have out there, really. And it's a much lighter vehicle. It's a state-of-the-art vehicle. And it looks just like a locomotive, but it's really not. It has all of this advanced technology. So that in itself makes it, I think, more environmentally friendly in general. There's a lot about this train system that I think once people understand, they'll really like, because it really does fit in with the ethos of our community.
Sure. And if it's cutting, like you said, it was how many cars are being taken off the road approximately?
So we were talking about the ridership, and we're at 1.4 million.
Okay.
So, you know, you can extrapolate that any way you really want to, but it's a significant number of cars off the road.
That's
at least
great.
500,000 if you cut that in half even. You know, but the point is it's really changing our mindset of how we travel, right?
Well, it does. And, you know, I will say one thing. When the SMART ballot measure was going forward, one of the things that was being touted was we're going to get freight off the freeway. Well, freight has probably tripled, and I don't see it coming off. The train is, you have the SMART train and then you have your freight.
Right.
And so they were kind of playing the two together. And so it'll be great. This is way in the past before you were ever here. So it would be great to figure a way of how are we going to really get freight off the freeways so we can have trains moving goods, because these 18-wheelers are just, they're getting off on local streets.
Right.
It's really becoming a problem.
Right, yeah. Especially here, I see a lot of that.
Yeah, it's really increased.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Right.
Big impact on the pavement.
Well, it's a huge impact, and there are no real truck routes, and that's another thing that is a problem.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to talk about, of course, we want to talk about safety, suicides, accidents that have happened, and just give us an update on what SMART is doing to prevent. It's hard to prevent suicides.
Right. Yeah. You know, and let me just say that it's really heartbreaking for all of us, and our hearts go out to the families, people who have been affected by it. And really, it's a huge issue, right? It's a societal issue. Mm-hmm. It's a community issue. So what SMART has done is really put together a coalition of more than 30 organizations, and these are mental health experts and advocates, suicide prevention groups. We brought everybody together and told them, basically, this is your area of expertise. Help us. We want to be part of the solution, but we really need some advice on how to address that. Mm-hmm. So we've been meeting and getting together, and signs you'll see are going up, and we're putting brochures in our trains just in case people need help, really.
Yeah.
But as a community, I think one of the things we can do is just reach out to one another. I think technology, while it's supposed to connect us, has made us a little bit disconnected, right? We're so obsessed
with
our phones.
That's very true.
People aren't paying attention sometimes.
Exactly. And that's part of the problem.
Right.
People aren't paying attention.
I'm actually curious. Do you have a statistic in terms of accidents, fatalities that are suicide versus just people not paying attention?
Right. So we've had 9 fatalities, unfortunately. 6 of them were suicides.
Wow.
The remainder either involved someone who was not paying attention or who deliberately went through the gates. We had a box truck just break through the gates and get hit by a train. One of the recent incidents was a woman who ducked under the gates, ignored the flashing red lights and the bells, and met with an oncoming train.
Wow.
And regardless of how it happened, every time it happens, it really does affect us all. It affects the community, I think, as well.
Passengers, it's everybody. I mean, the conductor. I mean, everybody is affected by this.
I will say this is a worldwide phenomenon. I was in Europe actually not long ago, a few weeks ago, and my train was delayed. In fact, everybody's trains were delayed for hours and hours because there was a suicide. So it happens over. This is in Germany.
Well, Palo Alto has a horrible suicide rate of youth, actually, that are in Pali High.
Yeah, Caltrain just had 2 on Monday, 2 the same day.
Yeah.
So it's something that, as a community, I hope we really pay attention to and help each other.
Well, there's that, and then there's also the safety,
issues
also.
What about the horns?
I love the horns, by the way.
Yeah.
Safety first. Cindy doesn't.
But they're a nuisance to people that live near them. I totally understand that.
Right, and, I totally understand why people want it to remain a quiet zone. If you live right up against the track, that horn is loud, but really it's meant to be loud.
Yeah.
And for us, the horn is a safety device. And I should say that in those incidents where the conductor sees what's happening, he or she does blow the horn. Unfortunately, the train is 149 tons, and it does not stop on a dime.
Right.
So unfortunately, it's too late by that time. And really, if somebody deliberately wants to take their life, it's even more difficult.
Yeah.
The last suicide we had, someone literally jumped out from behind the bushes in front of the train.
This is a morbid point, but I guess if someone's trying to commit suicide, the horn tips them off that the train is coming. So,
well, not always, because what she's saying is that
I know in a quiet zone.
Yeah, So it's it's a problem, and I think it's not just a problem.
Yeah, it's not a
here.
Problem.
It's not.
No, it's a community.
It's
problem.
It's a community problem.
People should not blame the train for this.
Right.
And
exactly.
I remember initially some of the gates were not working properly, and I was at several stops. People would just at a certain point like, I guess there really is no train. This thing is like false alarm. So they just start going around.
Yeah, you should never do that.
I mean, has all that stuff been fixed, all the kinks?
Well, you know, there are things that you see when you are in front of a crossing gate and things that you may not see in terms of what's happening with the system.
Right.
So sometimes we're running some tests in that area. And so the gates will remain down a little bit longer, but you definitely should always follow those rules and those regulations. If you see the crossing gate down, please just give us a minute or two and it'll be okay.
I've actually called the emergency line quite a few times when SMART started up because of problems like this. And I will tell you, you guys were on it right away. It was amazing. I mean, it was like snapping your fingers, and there wasn't any question. They just came out and fixed the problem.
And each crossing has a sign with a number to call. And if you call that number, it puts you right into our dispatch, and they have a computerized digital board, and they're able to see exactly what's going on.
Are they able to correct it remotely?
Absolutely. And if we can't, we send somebody out. Now, when people break the gate, I mean, break the gate off, we send a maintainer to go out there and take care of it. But really, if we're all just a little bit patient, I think that will save lives for sure.
Does the train, just in due course, does it tend to start to slow as it's going through certain areas, or is it pretty much keeping a constant speed up until an actual stop?
No, actually, speeds vary. It's an average speed of about 40 miles an hour.
Okay.
We have a top speed of 79. And the speed really depends on the engineering of the particular piece of track. Each trackage area has a set speed.
Mm-hmm.
One of the cool things about our trains, though, is that they're positive train control equipped. And right now, other railroads across the country are being asked to add this safety enhancement. So what that means is, say the train goes 2 miles over the designated track speed, the engineer will get an audible warning. And if he does not immediately bring it down, the train will safely come to a stop. What that means is you won't have what happened to Amtrak, where you had a speed-related derailment. Or, you know, if something should happen to our engineer, maybe a cardiac event, the train will stop itself. So I'm really proud of the safety features that we have, and I think that this is a really excellent system. I always feel safe when I'm on board this morning.
So it is manually driven, or is it automated, and then the engineer can change it if needed?
No, this is actually done by our conductor and engineers. Yeah, they do operate the train.
So what about the bike paths? What's the status on the bike paths?
Well, sure. I mean, I know they just had a groundbreaking for the parcel out here at Payron, and there's more path work being done in Marin County as well. So we're working on it, and we're working really hard to get grants fund that. We recently got a $12.6 million grant that allowed us to do that portion and portions in Roanoke Park. So what we do is we take the Measure Q funding, and if you actually read the measure, it says we're supposed to leverage that money. So with that money, and we all know we had a recession, with that money we were able to bring in an additional $323 million in grants and other funding to help support the system and build things like the pathway. So we're working hard to make the most of those dollars.
It's so interesting. You know, I talk to people, especially old-timers here in town, we just hate the train. We don't want this change. And to me, this change is, like, so exciting. And to be able to go from one destination to another in your county and then actually get out of the county, I think it's going to be a huge benefit, and we're going to see that big benefit in 10 to 15 years. Every year it just gets better and better. So I think it's real positive. But I think what people need to understand is, this is my opinion, when you voted for the train, you voted for growth, because the train has to have more ridership, and development around a train station is what we want to have happen.
Right. So they call that transit-oriented development.
Yes.
And if it's done well and thoughtfully, it eliminates the sprawl and the traffic. And that can be a favorable thing, right? I know other communities really welcome transit-oriented development.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that the train has done for Petaluma is really economic. I mean, if if you go to the station on a weekend, you can just see the throngs of people who come from Marin County or who come from other parts of Sonoma County to visit Petaluma. And they're anxious to try out our restaurants, mm-hmm. do some antique shopping. And I think it's been a real successful thing for the local merchants.
Well, when I took the train, there was two women. And they were coming up here, and they were looking for hiking opportunities.
Yeah.
And then other people come and bike. And mm-hmm. so I kind of directed them, you know, where they could go to, you know, find more information. And, you know, and so this is a really good thing.
Yeah.
And you know, we want to welcome more people out from the outside to come in mm-hmm. and visit.
It's great for the economy.
It is.
It's also great for us locals that live in the Northeast Quadrant, where we can just walk over to the new Corona station.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I don't have to worry about finding parking downtown anymore.
Right.
You
can walk.
Well, no, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
What about you can accommodate bicycles as well, so people can take their bikes?
Yes. So we are approaching 118,000 bicycles that we've carried since we started. Yeah, we celebrated our 100,000 mark with our bicyclists.
Wow.
People take their bikes to make that first mile, last mile connection. Mm-hmm. People take it to work. You know, and that's the thing, right? It's a healthier lifestyle. It encourages you to walk, bike, ride.
Yeah.
It's just a healthier lifestyle.
Get out of your
and then
car.
You also have large employers who provide shuttle services
mm-hmm.
from stations to the Kaiser Permanente, for instance.
Right. Kaiser.
I retired from there, and I know that they are.
Well, I think that's going to happen more and more because you are working with the companies, obviously, to make sure those connections happen, just like with the airport.
Right, and the counties have been really good at stepping up. I know they have a lot of programs where you can, for example, in Marin, mm-hmm. if you're a Petaluman and you want to check that out, you know, they have a direct transportation service through Marin Connects. There's all kinds of deals with Lyft, for example, where you get a discount if you come from one of our stations. And I think the more people use it and the more employers realize the benefit to their employees, that we'll see more of this kind of thing happening. So it's very exciting.
That's great. That's really exciting.
Well, I want to thank you for being here today. I want to honor your request to keep it to 15 or 20 minutes.
Thank
and
you so much.
That. So thank you so much. We're going to have you back again, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's great to have you. As you know, the stations start getting up and going, you know, like the Petaluma station, you know, I think it's exciting to have you back and have more conversations about this.
Because, I'd love to do that.
You know, eventually, you know, you want to extend the existing tax. And I think it's really important for people to understand you're not adding to a tax, you're just extending an existing one.
Exactly.
And so it's not, it really has to be,
a new tax.
It's not a new tax. It has to be framed really well.
Exactly.
But if we want to keep this moving, I think it's better to get on it sooner than later.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be excellent. Yeah. That would allow us to maintain the service we have, to expand the schedule, to get up there to Windsor, Healdsburg, and Cloverdale, and really get things moving. So we're really excited.
Okay. Exactly. It's so good to see you again.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks, John.
Okay.
Okay, so here we are again. Wow, things have been happening here in town. I'm so excited about that train station.
I know, I am
That's
too.
Pretty cool.
Yeah,
I'm very excited about it. And you know, my mantra is that if we're going to do a train station down there, we have to start looking at transportation.
Yep.
And we need to make it safe for bikes and pedestrians. Mm-hmm. And you know, which is going over the rail crossing and also, and you know, my thing about the Corona overcrossing.
Yep, mine too.
It needs to be done. And for $20 million, we can do that versus Rainier for $88 million. And maybe the street in front of our house will get fixed at the same time.
That's
pretty,
true.
It's pretty exciting.
I mean, if we can take more cars off the road, that sort of minimizes the need for another.
Well, you know, what's really exciting is that over on Industrial Drive, you know, they're doing the tiering for a flood control.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really not a flood control project. It's just they've actually cut a bunch of trees down in the creek, and it's just going to make water flow faster.
Yeah.
But it's not going to really, I don't think it's going to make a big change as far as water. But I think that we need to realize on Industrial Drive there are trails there, and we can connect trails from down to downtown Petaluma eventually.
I was just reading this. We're talking about SMART, obviously, Sonoma Marin Area Transit. And there was an article, it's actually from May 4th, but the headline is Petaluma Students Ride SMART for Environment. So it's all about how a lot of the youth is actually relying on SMART more, primarily because of the environmental benefits.
Well, you know, and I think this really goes back to, you want to talk about the environmental benefits.
Yeah.
What you really need to do, this is why public transportation needs to be subsidized.
Yeah, absolutely.
We cannot expect it not to be subsidized. Yeah. And, you know, this is what happened when all the train tracks were taken out. Now we're putting them back down.
It's, every time I go to Europe, I'm just blown away at how great the public transit system is
exactly.
in most of the Western European countries compared to here. And it's just, you know, we have this cycle of everything being so automobile dependent. And, you know, it's going to take some getting used to and adjusting, but there also has to be good alternatives. And SMART's a good one. But
I wish they would improve the bus service here. That would certainly make a difference.
And that goes back to the need for public transportation to be subsidized.
Yeah.
Without that subsidy, people complain that transit isn't. We don't have enough times, schedules. So,
and I hear it a lot when, I told you that I drive for iRide, which is the Petaluma People Services Center.
Yeah, good for you
and
for
these,
doing
seniors, they choose iRide because the bus system is just way too difficult for them.
Right, right.
And that's not right. They need to buy groceries and go to appointments and...
I lived in Holland, in Amsterdam, for 2 years, and I never owned a car. Never needed one.
Right,
I mean, they have trams. They even have buses when the trams stop running, trains from city to city, and bikes. Of course, it's very flat there.
No, that's true. But, you know, Jared Hall, from he's the transit director. We should really get him on and talk about what the city's plan is for transit, especially...
Well, by golly, that's your homework. Then.
You know what? I will do it this week.
Him.
I will. I'll walk right over there. Actually, I know where his office is, and so the doors are locked, and so I knock on his door, and then he has to open it for him. He turns around and goes, oh, God, not her again. So I'm looking at the city to fill climate change commission. I think it's exciting that we're going in that direction, but as we're filling the commission, I wish we would look at get rid of 1961, you know, thinking and actually look at 2019 as we move forward with projects.
Yeah.
It's kind of like this oxymoron.
Well, speaking of projects, there's a project that the city and the police department are working on to redefine the parking ordinance.
Yes, there is.
I know some people that might be involved in pushing for that.
Well, we had a meeting with
Janice and I did.
Chief Savano, Cindy, myself, and Paul Guerrero to talk about parking issues.
Cool.
And, you know, we all had kind of three different issues that we wanted to talk about because we have a parking ordinance. And the ordinance was last updated in 2003. And, you know, it's almost 2020.
Yeah.
And a lot has changed in this community with Airbnbs and just the growth itself and the train. And so we kind of have to look at ordinances, and you really need to make those updates.
Yeah.
And so...
You mentioned Airbnb. I can tell you the pluses and minuses of that firsthand.
And so can I.
I just used one. It was really great.
Oh, really?
It was in Nashville. And I have to say, if I had had to, my purpose was to go to this convention center. And typically I get an Airbnb that's not right next to the convention center. This time I did. And it was great, really nice amenities and everything, but the only thing that was I felt kind of bad about is the building had been bought by Airbnb, and originally it was an apartment complex, so there were residents there that were not too happy that their building had now turned into an Airbnb apartment. So there's some pros and cons there.
We have kind of an Airbnb guy all of a sudden, you know, in our neighborhood, and the motorhome and his driveway, his cars are on the street, and there's a hookup in his motorhome.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we're kind of wondering...
Just not what you expect.
Well, I mean, is he really living... Is this somebody living in this motorhome?
Yeah.
Well, and so...
There's all kinds of issues out there. Then I've got in my court where I live, we have 10 homes in the court. We have 8 center island parking spaces for guests. And I have a neighbor across the street that has a fleet. And when I say a fleet, he parks 3 to 4 of his home
business
vehicles there. He has an environmental services housekeeping type thing, mm-hmm. and he's got vans and cars out there.
So these are things that we're hoping to address in this update of this ordinance that the public really has no idea probably even exists.
What would be the idea to limit how many cars a given resident can have parked on the street, or the amount of time, or the type of vehicle, all of the above?
For my issue, it's really getting boats and motorhomes and, you know, stuff like that off the streets. And people, if you're going to park a motorhome in your driveway and then all of a sudden take your vehicles, plus your Airbnb vehicles, and park them on the street, there's a problem. If you, you know, basically, if you buy a motorhome, you better realize there's a monthly cost to park it somewhere, and it can't be on a city street anymore.
I think the other thing is that folks who live in neighborhoods with homeowner association fees that are there's clearly language in their CCNRs that say you cannot park a recreational vehicle, boat, motorhome in your driveway, and it's specifically for this reason. It's to, so that you're not parking your cars on the street.
Right.
You're parking them in the driveway. So, you know, I think the HOA
to
buck it up a little bit because I don't want to pay $100 a month in HOA fees for it not to be enforced.
Well, there's another thing is going back to the it's AB Assembly Bill 516. One thing that the city is waiting on is to see, it's at the governor's desk right now. It's actually, so he can sign Assembly Bill 516, which makes it that you can't just impound cars and cause harm to people that can't really afford to get the cars out. And so that it was kind of the precedent for making changes at the state level. And so that kind of, that flows into what's going to happen with our parking ordinance. And we really can't do anything until that is signed by the governor. And I have not checked to see if it is, but I'm hoping it is. He has 30 days to sign it. And so that's, and so actually, I want to thank our chief for meeting with us. And then Officer Miller was there. And Peggy Flynn, our city manager, was there. And so we really had a really good conversation about this. And, you know, Chief Savannah was saying, I was saying, God, is this going to be 6 to 9 months? And he seemed to think it would be about 3 months and we would have this before the city council, have hearings, and move forward with it. So I think it's very positive.
And to answer your question, Jason, one of the other things that we're looking at is that you'd be allowed to park in front of your house longer than the 72 hours if you are in front, directly in front of your home. You would
car parking. We're not talking boats or motorhomes.
I already do that.
So, well, well, because you go away to Europe and you're gone.
Well, no, I mean, I have a car.
What do you do with your car?
We have a car that we park on the street all the
time. Well, my cousin lives on 7th Street.
Am I breaking the rules?
Yes.
Well, really? You are.
72 hours, baby. That's it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and so, I mean,
but don't worry. We have at least one member of the city council that does the same thing. Okay?
But I think the point is that if you actually own a vehicle and you're using that vehicle, I mean, you can park it in front of your own home.
I'm responsible to pay for the sidewalk in front of my house, but I can't leave my car parked there that I own, that I pay permits and taxes on.
You're not parking on the sidewalk. You're parking in the street.
I'm parking near the sidewalk. I'm not parking in the street. I'm not blocking the road.
Cindy, you confused the issue.
It's a bunch of heartache.
Because it's not. No.
Give me a hard time.
If you live there and you have one car,
do that to Jason.
It's parked in front of my house. What's the problem?
You figure this one out, Cindy.
It's operational. We're not using it for storage. No one lives in it.
No, I think what the issue is that if you have cars that are parked in front of your house and the weeds are growing higher than the car, that's when you realize that maybe there's an issue.
The irony here is that where I do have a problem is on the other side of the street. I'm on a fire lane. People are not supposed to park on the other side. They do it all the time.
Well, that's a CCNR. You need to talk to your homeowners association about that case.
Yeah, I don't like telling on people.
Yeah.
Do you like paying that, writing that check each month for your dues?
No, I hate that.
Yeah.
But that's probably why I'll never go into a homeowners association housing situation
right,
again.
Right.
Although it does keep the neighborhood looking nice.
Well, it keeps the neighborhood.
No one paints their house polka dot. You know, I don't see a bunch of big Trump flags anywhere.
But remember, that's a First Amendment right. They have a right to do
oh,
that.
I know, but
just
I
like you have a right.
No, not in the HOA.
Well, that seems to be that's
some of the benefits.
That's good.
Well, somebody just came to visit us.
We have another guest.
We have another guest. Oh my gosh! Another guest.
And here we are. We have Serena Consulter here with Daily Axe. Good morning, Serena.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for
being
here.
We're acting daily.
Yes.
Acting daily. We had Carrie here. Carrie Huget here.
Yeah, that was great.
Couple months ago.
That's right.
Very informative.
Yeah, Carrie's amazing.
But you're here for a different reason.
And you are too.
Yes, I'm actually a program coordinator for Daily Axe, so I help organize a lot of the events that we put on throughout Sonoma County, and I wanted to talk about an event we have coming up tomorrow,
cool.
Saturday, August 27th, at Strauss Family Headquarters.
Nice. Okay. What
What's
is that
going
event?
On there?
So we're doing a landscape transformation. We actually have a working relationship with Strauss. They always donate their tasty yogurt to our volunteers to help
nice.
Keep them working. Through.
They're a great organization.
A lot of our projects.
It's good that they give you the tasty variety.
The taste. They have all the tasty stuff. All the delicious stuff.
Yeah.
But they actually contacted us to transform 14,000 square feet of lawn they have at their headquarters off of Industrial
Ooh,
Avenue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, so we're going to be doing a process called sheet mulching. If you guys know what that is?
Nope.
Yes.
Well,
I don't.
I know about it because it's a nope. citywide program,
yes.
correct?
Yeah, so Petaluma actually has a fantastic program called Mulch Madness where you can actually get the materials to transform your lawn for free through the city of Petaluma, and they'll even deliver it right to your front door. It's pretty cool.
If you qualify.
If you qualify. You have to call the city to qualify. Mm-hmm. But we're using this program to transform Strauss's lawn, and we're going to hope to have about 100 volunteers out tomorrow to do this process of sheet mulching where we lay out an inch of compost, 2 layers of cardboard, and 3 inches of mulch.
I do know about that.
What?
Yeah.
What time are you going to do this?
Ripping it out.
Before it gets too hot, hopefully?
It's going to be from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Ooh.
Thankfully, there are a lot of existing large trees on this lawn that are going to stay there. So there's a lot of shade. We're going to have
misters.
Free organic ice cream by Strauss. There's going to be an ice cream sundae bar. There's going to be free tacos.
Oh, the vanilla ice cream is one of my favorites. It reminds me of Chandler's Dairy.
The raspberry chocolate chip is
my favorite. The good thing about that is you feel less guilty, too, because you're doing work. So as you're eating that ice cream, you're also, doing the mulching.
You'll definitely be doing work.
Well, I looked at the weather. It's going to be a little bit of cloud cover.
Oh, good.
So it's
good.
Not going to be too intensely hot, but
should be fun.
Out. There's also going to be a kids' corner run by Strauss, so there'll be like coloring books and a movie playing. So if you want to bring your kids, there'll be somewhere for them to hang out.
What
face
movie?
Painting? Will there be face?
I don't know what movie, and I don't think there's going to be
something age appropriate.
Painting.
I'm
not
sure.
Too hot for that.
But yeah, kids are more than welcome to come to our events. They always have a lot of fun. They're actually super energetic, and they always keep the energy vibe up a lot. But
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And so the impact of this will be
by Strauss taking this action, they're going to be able to save 200,000 gallons of water every year just by not irrigating that lawn. Yeah, if you ever drive down Industrial Avenue, you'll notice the whole thing is lawn. And
I
it's not
stand Industrial Avenue because of all the lawns.
I mean, it's for residents,
it's
too. I can't believe residents still have this.
Oh, I know.
I
know.
As an organization, Daily Axe isn't like grass haters. You know, we do see there is a purpose for lawn, especially if you have like kids or soccer games. As long as the lawn is being used, that's one thing. But when you drive down Industrial Avenue, it's just grass that's not being used for anything.
And watching the water run down the gutter.
Yeah. Well,
there's AstroTurf.
Well, no, I don't. Well,
not
for you.
That's just thing for, like, my parents' grave, I put AstroTurf on. Yes, and it looks so much nicer.
We just let our lawn just be natural.
Well,
so in the spring, it's nice and green, and now it looks terrible.
There's something to be said about artificial turf, because I did that as an alternative, and it's hot when the sun sits
That's
on it.
True.
It's very
yeah,
hot.
Good
walk
point.
Bare feet on it.
Good point.
Then your dogs can't walk on
That's
it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I think the big application is for athletic fields where you're probably wearing cleats.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, it still gets pretty hot. I mean, when they used to use the rubber underneath, I think they use different material now. I mean, it really got hot, the one on at Lucchese Park, the original one that was built. I mean,
well,
the kids' cleats.
We don't know hot compared to what I was just experiencing in Nashville, Tennessee.
You
got the heat plus the humidity, and it's, I mean, literally 9:30 in the morning, I go to the convention just to walk. It was only like two blocks. I already felt like I needed a shower. It's just crazy. So at least I'm thankful that it doesn't get that hot.
We live in the greatest place in the world.
That's very true.
Well, there's Hawaii. Yeah.
So do you think after doing Strauss, do you think that'll encourage other businesses down there to do the same?
Yeah, we are actually really hoping that by transforming Strauss's lawn, you know, they're the first one, then you pass down industrial coming off of Corona, that it will encourage other businesses in the area to maybe make the same kind of conversion. No worries if you can't make this event. We actually have two more events that we're going to be doing with Strauss as well. One of them is going to be a planting, and then the other one's going to be an irrigation workshop.
Well, I was going to ask, you're doing the mulching. What are you replacing it with then? Are you going to, are they actually going to put some xeriscape plants? Or?
Yeah, so the goal is to incorporate some native water-wise plants.
Nice.
Behind Strauss headquarters is that gorgeous, like, natural wildlife corridor.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually hoping to create some connectivity with the wildlife corridor and use some of the plants that they've used in that restoration project as well.
And this is what's so exciting about, you know, when we're looking at doing a smart screen on Smart Station at Corona.
Yeah.
And then you're talking about all this work that's being done in Industrial Drive. The public has to have a safe access to get there.
Yeah.
And we also have bike paths that are eventually going to go to Sebastopol.
Yeah.
And they start in this area.
So Corona needs
to be upgraded, but it's really exciting. You know, that you're connecting all these different transportation modes and environmental issues.
Yeah, it is important to have connectivity on all those levels for people who want to be more environmentally friendly by riding their bicycles, or even for the wildlife. It's important to have those green spaces that all connect to each other.
Exactly.
Protect our habitat and our little species.
No, it's actually pretty cool, but I'm really happy to hear that those green lawns are finally going to be starting to dissipate.
Yeah, and if anybody else is interested in transforming their lawn, the Mulch Madness program is in full swing right now. So if you go on the City of Petaluma's website, you could look up and find the phone number where you could find out if you qualify or not.
Yeah, and the main thing, as I recall, is that you have to have a lawn in a normal working state that's not already dead.
Yes, I guess. It has to be a currently irrigated lawn.
So that's where we didn't qualify.
It has to be a pretty good size lawn
to be a good
as well,
size,
because I tried to do that. And
yeah.
I was told I didn't have enough lawn.
Exactly.
So
that's what you want to hear.
How much cardboard do you need? I mean, for a job like Strauss, that's a lot of cardboard. Where do you get your cardboard and talk about the process?
The Mulch Madness program actually provides all of the materials. So they provide you with cardboard rolls, they provide you with compost, and they provide you with mulch.
Cool.
Oh, it's so cardboard rolls. It's not cardboard. Because my cousin went to a dumpster at the bike store and got their old cardboard, you know, that they were going to just get rid of and recycle. So she picked it up, went to her house, a small area, put that down, and then put the mulch on top of that. But
that works just fine, too. And honestly, we do that for a lot of our projects that don't qualify for Mulch Madness. We work all over Sonoma County.
So you're talking about going to, like, Friedman's and buying the roll out cardboard?
Actually, Grab and Grow provides it for us. But we get the rolls of cardboard and the compost and the mulch all for free.
Well, it sure beats plastic.
Wow.
That's so much better than even the landscape fabric. Because it all just disintegrates and goes into the storm drains over time. So the cardboard's great because
microplastics
disintegrates over time.
Right.
About soil profile.
Right.
It's also good when you're sheet mulching to try and leave it for at least a few months to kind of let that, like, the lawn compost underneath and disintegrate back into the soil before you do the planting. Gives you a lot less weeds to deal with in the future if you do it that way, which is why we're going to do it that way with Strauss.
So there's no going in there and having to scrape the lawn off. You just put this on top of it, and then it
kills it,
and it does its whole composting process.
Yeah, which is good for the soil, too, so it's a win-win. Yeah.
Wow, I like that.
Yeah. So that means it'll be a couple of months before the planting effort begins?
Yes. Yeah, the planting and the irrigation will be pretty back-to-back. You've got to get water for the planting.
Now, do they have an irrigation system coming off their roof, so you're recapturing the water? Is that going to be incorporated in this project?
We don't have rain catchment incorporated into this project, no. What we'll actually be doing is what a lot of Mulch Madness people do, is you convert the sprinklers into a drip system.
Mm-hmm.
But drip is still a much more efficient way of using water and replanting low water use plants. So
does Strauss actually own their property? Is this their building?
No, they actually rent it. So we have been working with their landlord to do this project.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
And what about their place in Rohnert Park? That they're building a facility in Rohnert Park.
I don't know anything about that, unfortunately. That would be a good question for Strauss. But if anybody was interested in learning more about Strauss and, like, their organic and sustainable farming, they could look on their website or their social media.
And then Daily Acts will have all these future events that you're going to be – that we've been talking about will be on the website, correct?
Yeah. If you don't mind, I'd actually love to talk about a few of our upcoming events.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, one of our first upcoming events is Soil to Supper. It's on Saturday, August 10th, and it's one of our big fundraisers where we feature a bunch of local sustainable farmers, ranchers, and wines. There'll be live music and entertainment and an open bar. Daily Access how to throw a great party, so it's always a super fun event to go to.
Yeah, it was an open party.
An open bar. Yeah, tickets are only $85. I feel like that's a pretty good price for an open bar and entertainment. So that's
and
one
food,
event
I
coming
hope.
Up. And delicious food.
Okay, good.
The theme this year is going to be a Mediterranean spread, so it looks absolutely delicious.
Yeah, we may have to just go as a group, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on our website. You can get a table
get
for eight
passes.
I wish I had that power.
We've done that for High Times. And
yeah, you should partner this event with Rod and others and make sure they bring the Hi-Fi hops.
It's a
really good adult beverage.
A lot of our beer.
And so what else you got?
I have an insect investigation coming up on Saturday, August 17th. So I have a local entomologist, her name's Candace Gilmore, and she's going to lead a group of kids through a catch-and-release event where they have little jars and nets, and they can go through and check out our local insect population. And she also has an insect collection so kids can learn the anatomy of insects. What we're hoping really is to get kids excited about water-wise and native gardening and just see the rich diversity of insects that allows.
Arachnids, too, I imagine.
Well, we'll try not to focus on that. But you're going to find them. That's going to be at the Petaluma Library on August 17th from 10 a.m. to noon, which you could also find on our website.
So she's an entomologist?
She is.
She's so hard to find.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
She got her degree from Sonoma State University, so she's local.
Oh, wow.
And then the last one I wanted to highlight today is we have our Climate Action Concert coming up on September 8th. It's a Sunday. And we're going to have five different local musicians, Rupa and the April Fishes, the Kofis Brothers, the Highway Poets, Dusty Greenbones Band, and the Real Sarahs. It's going to be... It's a fantastic lineup. It's going to be a zero-waste event. We have somebody coming in to green the event for us to make sure we're not creating more waste. And it's going to be at the SOMO Event Center in Rohnert Park. There's going to be green technology demos, a kids activities area, and so much more. And tickets are only $30. So, and it's to fundraise for Daily Acts Climate Action.
And can children come to this? And are they $30 also, or are they free?
Are there press passes?
Well, you know what? You can get free off the top of my head, but I do know we have a fantastic kids' activity corner planned for the concert.
Well, that would be great if you could get back to us on that, just because if, you know, you want to spend $30, you know, that could be $60 a couple, and then you have a couple kids. It would be great if there was a discount.
I'm sure it's going to be on the website, all that information.
Absolutely.
Which we can put the link to your website our website.
Yes, we can.
Which is inside... Petaluma.com.
You can go to dailyacts.com.
Yeah, www.dailyacts.org.
So is there a /events?
Slash events, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You can find our event page.
Just go to your events and you click and it comes up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here.
So tell us a little bit about you, though.
A little bit about me.
Yeah, besides Daily Acts, I mean, where'd you come from? Do you live here?
Yeah, so I grew up in Petaluma.
Okay.
I just graduated last year from Cal Poly with an environmental science degree.
Oh, nice.
But grew up in Petaluma, went to Casa Grande High School, Santa Rosa Junior College. So I feel really lucky to be working with a nonprofit organization that does so much work in the community that I grew up in.
So did you go to the JC for 2 years and do a transfer agreement, or did you, what was your deal?
Yeah, so I was at the Santa Rosa Junior College probably for about 5 years. Switched majors and then transferred So
with a transfer agreement through the JC, though?
Yeah.
You did? Oh, because my grandson is, he's in college now.
Yeah.
And so he's decided to go to the JC because it's a great bang for your buck. And he really wanted to go out, he really wanted to go away for college.
Yeah.
And so he wants to go to Berkeley or San Luis Obispo. He wants to get into engineering or UCLA.
Cal Poly is such a great school.
Cal Poly is a great school. But some of these, their transfer agreement is a little funky with some of them. But that's great. Wow.
I was also an environmental studies major, went to UCSC, and did the same thing, went to a junior college. It was double major of politics and environmental studies.
Yeah.
It's honestly the way to go, especially if you don't know exactly what you want to do. It's such a great resource. And Santa Rosa Junior College is like one of the top ones in the country. You can transfer anywhere.
I still don't know what I want to do.
Well, I'm kind of wondering myself, too. I actually go to Santa Rosa Works, and we watch students, who don't speak English or, as a second language. This last year, I think 8 of them are going to college. One of them is going to UC Berkeley, a full ride, and they're all going to, colleges and state colleges, 8 students, and they started at the JC. It's a great organization, Literacy Works, but it's great to see, people being able to go to the junior college and then transfer and fulfill your dream.
Actually, it was my junior college environmental science professor who got me the job with Daily Axe, too. So
really?
We kind of came full circle. It was fun.
Oh, that's great. And so where do you live?
I'm living in Petaluma now. So
okay. I live in Petaluma, so that's why I'm asking. Do you live with your parents?
My parents right now. Yeah. Thankfully, my parents, I have a great relationship with my parents. And they were open to having me after I graduated. So, I never imagined I'd end up in Petaluma, but I love being here. I love this community. So, feeling very lucky.
Nice town.
That is great.
Yeah.
What a wonderful story.
Thank you for letting me share.
Petaluma is lucky to have you back.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
How are you full time at Daily Axe?
I'm 3/4 time at Daily Axe, so 32 hours a week.
That's good. Hey, what else do you
keep you busy?
Live my life.
I love it.
I love all of our regional parks. I'm always out with my dog at Schoenberger, Helicata. My parents have a golden retriever.
I've been doing
a lot of gardening with my dad, hanging out with my neighbors.
That's great.
It's good being back.
Oh, that's exciting.
Cool. My daughter's about to go off to school, and it's the first one to leave the nest for our family, and I'm happy for her, but I'm also gonna miss her.
Are you gonna start crying again?
No, but I hope that she comes back also.
She'll come back. She'll come back.
She hasn't even left
yet. You're waiting for her to come back.
Where's she going?
Monterey, actually.
Monterey is such a great school.
Yeah.
It's a really tight knit community.
Yeah.
She'll be fine there, and she's close enough to visit home when she wants to.
Exactly, and it's a big, good excuse for me to go visit there more often too, because I love the area.
It's a beautiful area. The aquarium is so awesome.
Yeah, I remember when
it
was built.
It is. Actually,
I lived there, so I remember when that thing was first built, and it's still amazing.
Jerry Price's daughter. Jerry Price is
an activist,
and he's in his 80s. He was a Republican. They changed parties, which I'm very proud of Jerry. And his daughter is a docent at Monterey.
Very cool.
Yeah, aquarium.
So.
Yeah, pretty exciting.
Anyway.
Huh. Well, what else? About you. Do you have brothers and sisters? I don't know about you.
Okay, sure. So,
we should have warned you.
I love this. This is great. So,
wandering puppies.
We don't need to pray.
I'll find out everything.
So, actually, if you don't mind, I'd love to talk about the reason I got into environmental science.
Yes, perfect.
So, when I was in high school, I was super lucky to have a professor teacher at Casa Grande High School named Lynn Moquete. She's a human interactions teacher there, and she leads trips to the Dominican Republic for high school and college students, where you go and you live with a host family, and you build homes or build latrines, work with school children, all in a town that she was in the Peace Corps in 20 years ago, which is pretty cool. So she's got a really great connection with the town. And I was lucky enough to actually live there for 3 months in 2012, working with a group of 12 women making jewelry in this amazing little town called Los Pinos, where, there's hardly any running water. Sometimes there's electricity.
Mm.
And it was just such an incredible experience, and I just wish that everybody had the chance to go out and see parts of the world, because, a big conversation, I think, in a lot of areas of today is empathy, and you can't, it's hard to teach empathy. It's something you have to, pick up by, having these experiences.
Exactly.
So when I came home, that's when I decided I was really interested in environmental justice and water quality and making sure that people had access to clean water and resources, because a big part of the way we live our lives today is we don't see the other side of it. We don't see all the waste that we produce. We don't see where the pollution goes. We're all kind of like, we've got our little blinders on to that.
Sheltered.
So I was really lucky to have that experience. And when I came home, it made it a lot easier to get through all the math and science classes that I had to do to get through that.
How long were you there?
At the junior college?
No,
or the Dominican Republic. Yeah. Just 3 months. But I had gone on 3 other trips with that organization as well. It's called Una Vida. It's based out of Petaluma. But
cool. That's great. Wow.
So I feel so lucky now. I'm back. I've graduated from college, and now I get to work for a nonprofit that's also doing incredible work here in our community. So.
And you seem very happy about it.
Yes.
I don't think I've seen you not smile since you got here.
Oh, well, thank you. But
it's really exciting to have passion about for what you do.
Well, especially, I mean, what we're talking about is the future.
Absolutely.
And it can be very dark and depressing at times, and it's nice to see particularly the youth feeling empowered to help do something about it, as opposed to it's over, you know, which sometimes is a temptation.
Well, it gives us older folks a lot of hope. Yeah. I will tell you.
Do better than we did.
God, thank you. I'm so happy you're here.
Yeah. So we've been talking with Serena Consulter. She's with Daily Acts, and the website again
is www.dailyacts.org.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
You want to do good things, go to that website and roll your sleeves up.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
And this Saturday you can do it.
Yeah, that's right. So I guess we ought to start thinking about wrapping up. I do want to mention that we have an event coming up here in Petaluma on Saturday, August 3rd at the Sonoma Marin Fairgrounds. We have the 12th Annual Petaluma Music Festival.
Yes.
Do you guys have your tickets?
Do we have press packets?
Press passes.
I have VIP tickets.
Ooh, can I get VIP from you? Can I buy them?
I do have a plus one that hasn't been selected
yet. I'll buy you one. Yeah. I'll buy it from you. Yeah. I'm your best friend today, right?
So, you know, they also need volunteers. So you can go to PetalumaMusicFestival.org. And probably get in for nothing if you're a volunteer.
I
know for sure you can, because we have volunteers that are going to be there on behalf of Petaluma Community Access and KPCA. So if you want to support the music programs in Petaluma schools, get yourself a ticket and get to the music festival. That's Saturday, August 3rd. They've got a great lineup there. AOLO, David Nelson Band, The Mother Hips, our very own Royal Jelly Jive is going to be there. Moon Alice, The Grain, which is another local band, and a whole bunch. They've got multiple stages, so you can bop around and listen to whatever makes your heart sing, but you got to go get a ticket.
That's great. I have one little announcement, and that is... our mayor has a pledge to dredge to save the Petaluma River. You can go to care2.com and search for dredge pledge to sign up this petition. There's over 2,000 people have signed so far. And the petition closes on Monday, so it's important for everyone to express their desire to get our river dredged. Do it. Let's do it.
So, sounds good. We're wrapping up another week here at Inside Petaluma, and we are here, in case you need to know, we are here every Friday, 11 to noon. That's Janice Peter Thompson, Jason Davies, and myself, Cindy Thomas. So please do come back. We always have so much fun. We don't want to miss out on that.
We are fun together.
I hope the listeners are having as much fun.
And you know what? Jason didn't say the word dispensary.
No, he did not. But I was talking about the dispensary.
That's a high five hop.
Oh, yeah. You did. Yes, he did.
Yeah. All right, then. So everybody have a good weekend. See you around.
Sounds good.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.